And we'll be all over the a few verses of the Bible here. The Biblical Lady, Part 4. I brought you three of the sermons, I think. Three or four. I hope I got my numbers right, but that's all right if I don't. I'm not sure, but it sounds like four is right. Is that right? Four? Okay. And it's the duties of a mature Christian lady in the house of God, in the church. And very important message. And I don't want any of you to take this lightly because it is very important to understand this. I believe that because this has been neglected in the church and the spotlight has not been shined on this ministry, that a lot of ladies have not been able to live up to the position or live in the position that God has rightfully given them in the local church. Their position has been demeaned in some ways, and it's actually been usurped by the pastor, and he has kind of taken some of those roles on that really he shouldn't be doing. Amen? He shouldn't be doing that. The ladies should be doing that, and the mature Christian ladies should. Amen? So I want you to understand this and listen and pay attention closely. I think it's why there's some problems today in our churches. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3, that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Incidentally, you see that good, obedient to their own husbands. As you look at that obedience to their own husbands, that's part of what the vows are like when you get married. Amen? Those vows are like that. I told somebody before, and I think it was Jeremy and Sarah's wedding, I said I wouldn't marry two people that wouldn't agree to that as far as in the marriage vows and didn't believe that in their hearts that a wife was to be obedient to her husband. I wouldn't marry two people like that. Amen? Well, we'll take that obedience out. We'll change all that. We'll modernize it and make it all a big, happy feminist show. No, we won't do that. Amen? We won't change the order that God has. At least this pastor won't. Now, you have some chaplains now in the military. I'm going to get in trouble now. There's some chaplains in the military now. Hey, it's just the truth, folks, that they're going to have to do gay marriages now. You know, they're going to do them, and I wouldn't, but I mean, because there's no such thing as, I don't care what the state calls marriage. You understand this? I don't take my authority from the state. I take it from the Word of God. Now, that may make some people mad. They may like a softer approach than that, but I don't have that kind of approach. So, I just believe the Bible, amen, and I go by what the Word of God says, and I'll stick with that and leave all the philosophy to everybody else. But listen, I believe in my heart that this is one of the most neglected ministries in the local church today, the ladies' ministry. That the ministry of a mature Christian lady. Because this ministry has been neglected, we reap what we have sown, and much heartache and pain in the body of Christ has taken place. Pastors have taken on duties that godly ladies in the church should be doing, and it's caused some men and women to fall into sin because the boundaries that God set up has not been respected. There are certain conversations, there are certain things that only ladies and ladies should talk about. Amen? It shouldn't be talked about among men and other things like that. A man doesn't need, even a pastor doesn't need to counsel that. And in such cases, now there are some things that a pastor has to be involved with that'll make him very uncomfortable sometimes when a husband or his wife is present and things like that. I don't doubt that. There are some things, believe me, there are some things that will come up that you have to discuss. Folks, you'd be surprised. Everybody has a smile on their face. They all look churchy when they come to church, and everybody looks like they got a halo on their head, but don't ever mistake it. The horns are holding up the halo, okay? There's skeletons in closets, amen, and there's problems in every church, and people have problems, and people are hurting, and people have went through pain, and they've had a lot of bad things happen in their life, amen? And so understand that not everybody's sanctified, perfect person, amen? We all have our struggles. We all fight the same battles against the devil. And we all have things we've done in our lives that we regret. Amen? But, you know, and sometimes the pastor has to deal with some of those things. You know, with married couples and things like that, you deal with some things, you talk about some things, there's some things that you don't want to hear, but there's sometimes some things, you just have to go through those things. But there's a ministry there for the mature Christian lady. There's a ministry, a very important ministry there, for that lady to understand that she is important to the local church. And guess what? Folks, as you go through these, you will see that the pastor's job is not to sit, not to do what the ladies in the church, the elder ladies in the church, or the mature Christian lady is supposed to do. But you see, pastors have said, well, this is my kingdom, and I will rule, and I will take care of everything. you'll soon find out that that doesn't work. And if it does work, it sets up a precedent anyway, where you don't understand what you've done. Amen? And you've not allowed people to be used how God wants them, to use a vessel of honor unto God. Ladies have been shortchanged in the church. They've been told, you know, you don't speak in the church, which is biblical. It's biblical. However, they've basically been left to believe, well, you take care of your kids and there's nothing else God wants from you. Well, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's all God would want from you. But that isn't all. That's the main thing. Your husband and your children. The main thing. However, there's something else. Amen? There is something else. It's very important. Very important. The first duty of the mature Christian lady is that of a life of holiness. It says, be ye holy. In the Bible, it says, be ye holy, for I, your God, am holy. You're to be holy. The manner of conversation is to be a holy conversation. They may teach the young women, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness. The first duty of a mature Christian lady is that of holiness unto the Lord. Her design, her behavior, her conversation, everything that she does must preach, must teach, must illustrate holiness unto the Lord. Amen. It's very important. Why? Because there's a generation following you that is watching your every step. They're watching the way you deal with your husband. They're watching the way you deal with your children. They're watching the way that you've handled things in the church. They're watching the way that you handle people and family and relatives and friends and neighbors. They're watching you. Amen? This is a quote here, but a very good one. That they be in their dress, their gait, and their general deportment such as their holy calling requires. That they be not like the world, but like the church, decent without and adorned with holiness within. You know, the beauty that God is looking for is not that outward adornment, but it's the inward duty of the heart. God is looking for that holiness in deportment of the heart. God is looking for that submissive, quiet, meek spirit that is a matter and a behavior of holiness. That's what God's looking for. Amen? He's very specific. He mentions this for the aged women or the mature Christian lady. These ladies are to speak everything that matches with the profession that they have made. Amen? You have said that you're a born-again believer. You have said that you're a called-out disciple of Jesus Christ and you want to follow Him. Now your life should show that. Now that's a good lesson for all of us, by the way. Amen? The men are not exempt from this. As you see earlier in the chapter, it talks about the men. But listen to me, ladies, this is very important. Their behavior or manner of life is to be holy. Let me ask you, are you a lady like this? Are you striving to be a lady like this, a sanctified, set apart, sold out for Jesus Christ, walking in the faith and living for the Lord? Such as they profess to be and should be, keeping a pious decency and decorum in clothing and gesture, in looks and speech, and all their deportment. And this from an inward principle and habit of holiness, influencing and ordering the outward conduct at all times. It's a matter of the heart. And we understand that whatsoever is in the heart cometh out. We understand that when the heart is based on holiness and pleasing the Lord and sanctified, set apart, everything else will happen. Amen. Everything else will be controlled by that. Because we understand that everything flows from the heart. Amen. We know that, don't we? We studied the heart, preached you 10, 12 messages on the heart, and we understand that out of the heart cometh everything. Amen. So we need to put in the good things into our heart. Amen. Bible talks about whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is what a holy Christian lady is supposed to do. That is her main, the main thrust of what she is to do. If a lady can't get to that point, how could she teach others if she's not there? How could the pastor trust her? How could her husband trust her to be able to go help somebody else? Amen? If that's not the way that she is, if she doesn't have that holiness about her. And here, whatsoever things are beseeming or unbeseeming, holiness form a measure and rule of the conduct to be looked to. Everything an elder lady in the faith does should be tempered by holiness. Amen? before a lady is able to teach other ladies, she needs to have a behavior that speaks of that. Her life should preach holiness, her actions, her manner of dealing with her husband, all manner, all conversation of her life should preach that of holiness unto the Lord. Amen? Number two, the mature Christian lady is not to be a false accuser. It says not false accusers. Now, incidentally, I don't go to the Greek very much, but I'm told by a bunch of Greek scholars, actually, that word diablos is the same word as the devil. That word that is used for false accuser or slander or anything like that is the same word that in the Greek they used as the devil. Amen. It's the same word that the slander, the old false accuser. Amen. The old accuser of the brethren. Amen. Amen. The old accuser of the brethren. Now listen, ladies can be prone to gossip and to slander others and falsely accuse someone without hearing the whole matter. I have seen that before. Now you must be very careful, ladies, as you deal with things and as things come up in your life. Don't just fly off the handle of emotion and hear something and say, well, that's it. They did it. They're guilty. They did it. Scumbucket. That hussy. Amen. That's what some people, you know, they already got the, hey, that's what somebody is, that's just supposed to be what it is, I heard that. Oh, that means it's true. No, not to be false accusers. Amen? Not to be false accusers. A slanderer is one whose tongue is set on the fires of hell. Amen? Be careful, your tongue can do a lot of damage, hurt a lot of people, and it sure does take a long time to heal. It sure does. It takes a long time to heal when you hurt somebody. I have seen ladies do more damage in churches when they gossip and slander someone. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I remember when my wife and I, when we were first married, we were in a church in Iowa. And I remember the ladies there. And I mean, I'll tell you what, they picked on my poor wife so much that she just, I mean, it was bad. I can say that because the church is all disbanded now and a new church is formed, so nobody, they're all gone. But it was bad. It was very bad. And it was just so bad. I mean, to the point that she was in tears one day. And the pastor came up and he straightened them out. He just laid them all out and just, woo, he just cleaned them all out. I mean, he didn't kick them out of the church, but he just laid them all straight. He said, you're going to get this right. You're going to deal with this, and you're not going to talk of this. And you've got this young lady crying down there, and you know, and I mean, he let the smoke was coming out of his ears by the time he was done, but everybody got right, and then they got it dealt with. I remember that. They did. They got it right. I remember it. But because, you know, I was getting a little upset, and then I started getting upset. The pastor said, no, I'll take care of it. And I thought, no, I'd like to. But I didn't. I backed off and let him do it. But listen, folks, I've seen that slander. I've seen it hurt people. I've seen that gossip and that backbiting and that mean spirit. I've seen it just tear people apart. We don't need that. Amen? That's not biblical. And ladies can a lot of times, you know, push that. They can be a part of that. They can cause a lot of damage like that. And most of the time it is the ladies that do it. And it's not always nice to say that. It's not always comfortable. But it's true. I've seen it time and time again that they are, I mean, I'm telling you something, and listen, I love my wife and I love ladies dearly, but I'll tell you something. They can be mean sometimes. And my goodness, they can be mean. I mean, vicious sometimes. And it's amazing to me how people can tear each other apart. But I have seen women, they will tear each other apart. You know, and I mean verbally, of course, but I'm just saying, but that's worse. I see people just hurt. Just one misunderstanding grow out of that, and it just becomes this big, huge thing where, well, you did this, and I'm never going to forget about you doing this, and then this person gets blamed for everything, and they didn't even do anything. They didn't do anything. You know, most of the time it's a big misunderstanding that blows up and gets out of the way. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it in families happen. I have. I've seen it in families. Just a big misunderstanding. You know, and it just blow up into... I remember my family when I was a kid, they got into an argument and they didn't talk to each other for like 7 years or something like that. I was like, whoa! Like, where's my aunt at? I don't know. We don't go over there no more. It was like forever. I mean, it's like, man, these people can hold a grudge. I was just mad because I didn't get any Christmas presents. Never going to see him again. Come on, you cut us off from the family. We're not getting any Christmas presents. But I've seen it happen. And it all starts, and usually it's the ladies that kind of get into it and it happens. And listen, I'm not being unkind. I'm just, most guys will hear it and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm mad at you. They might punch each other or something, but then they forget about it. Oh, that's all right. I get it. No big deal. It's fine. It's over. You know, my brother and I were like that. We just hit each other. Oh, it's over now. We're good. Anyway. But be careful about false accusations, because the mature Christian lady will be careful about her speech. She'll be careful about what she says. Amen? And that's very important. And you'll get into why. We'll get into why here. We won't touch on it a lot this week, why. But we will next week. We'll cover why in great detail. Number three, a mature Christian lady is not to be given to much wine. Now, does this mean she can be given to a little bit of wine? Because that's what that means. She must be able to, it says to much wine. So how much is much wine? Well, what's much wine to you and what's much wine to me? Well, I prefer what the Bible preaches, and that is to abstain from all of it. Amen? And that's what the Bible preaches. What this is saying is that the mature Christian lady was not to be serving wine and not to be a drunk and not to facilitate that in people. She was not to. The older in Rome and in Rome and in the Middle East, in Rome and Greece, the ladies had a problem with the older ladies would drink a lot. I don't know what it was, but in their culture, they would drink a lot. They'd be drinkers. So they'd sit around and they'd give themselves over. So understand, Paul, who is a Pharisaical Jew and then gets saved, he understands that drinking is wrong. Drinking alcoholic beverages is wrong. So, but he's going through and he's explaining this, but he's going through these Gentile churches that they drink. I mean, they just, you know, a lot of the people drink, and he was explaining to them, not given to much wine doesn't mean you can be given to a little wine. That's not what he's saying. Wine was not, alcoholic wine was not to be used for entertainment or pleasure. There was a use for alcoholic wine. Now, some people won't tell you this, but I'll share that there was a use for alcoholic wine. And they did drink it sometimes, and there was a purpose for it. So when the preacher says, hey, bless God, God never had any use for that at all. Well, Jesus never made alcoholic wine. That part is true. But God did say, the people did use it, and it was used for a purpose in the Bible. And the alcoholic wine was. But it wasn't used to have a good time and have fun and a party. That's not what it was used for. And that's what they were doing. And that's why he was saying not given to much wine. The scripture has already been laid down in Proverbs that who hath woes, who hath contention, and all of that in Proverbs chapter 3. We understand what the Bible says about liquor. All right, and hard liquor and wine and alcoholic wine. New wine is found in the cluster, the Bible says. We understand that. However, there was a use for that. And let me get to that in a second here. The best way to make sure that one is not given to much wine is what? Stay away from it. Amen? That's what his warning was. Paul didn't really think that he had to explain that to people after the fact that it has already been taught to them. That they needed to do that. Now we know that one drink always leads to another, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'm amazed at how many Christians think Jesus Christ was a bartender at the Canaan wedding, though. And he just mixed wine for everybody, and he got everybody drunk. Yeah, well, see, Jesus turned water into wine, so that's okay for me to get drunk. Oh, okay, yeah. So Jesus was a bartender, right? He's going to come down and sit right next to you, and he's going to set him up, Joe, right on the line. Give me the bottle. Leave the bottle, Jesus. You really think Jesus Christ is going to do that? You really think a thrice holy God is going to drink liquor? Think about it, people. That's not Jesus. That's not the God in heaven. Amen? He made it grape juice. It says new wine is found in the cluster. That's what Jesus made. Why do you think he said you don't put new wine into old bottles? Amen? He talked about that. It's a very simple understanding, but people who want an excuse to do something, you know, they'll use it. They'll use it as an occasion. But listen to me. Liquor was used and wine was, alcoholic wine or fermented wine was used for medicine in the Bible. It had some proper uses at some times of pain and distress and unto death. Proverbs 31:6 says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Now what does that mean? Well, I've taught you this before, but I'll teach it again. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Now, Today, what do we give people that are ready to perish? Morphine. We give them morphine, don't we? If they're ready to die and they're going through pain, we go, oh, you don't feel that anymore, do you? No, I don't. Right? And they give them that, and they don't feel that anymore, right? That's understandable. No one here, no one in their right mind would ever say, well, that's you shouldn't give that. You should make them go through pain. Well, what did they have? They didn't have morphine, folks. So what did they have? They had strong drink. So what does it say? It says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Well, here's this guy, his arm's hanging off. He's bleeding to death. It's squirting out everywhere, and he's ready to die. So, I know I'm being blunt and bold and in your face and everything else you can accuse me of, but listen, here's the guy, he's bleeding all over the place, and what do they say to him? Drink this. Why? So he doesn't feel it anymore. That's humane, folks. It's being kind to somebody, saying, I don't want you to die, screaming to death. Amen? That's not wicked. That's not abuse. Do you call that alcohol abuse? No. They're not drinking it for pleasure. They're giving it to him as medicine. So the guy doesn't die, or what if he's a long time dying, or he's ready to perish, but he's not there yet, and he's in pain. How about some of the people you've known that have went through cancer, and they're hurting, and they're ready to give up this life, but they're not there yet, and they're suffering in pain. Nobody wants to watch somebody suffer in pain if you could do something to help them. Amen? That's just humane. Right? Now, it says, and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. What does that mean? Well, if you've got people that are in such distress, like David was, or other people in the Bible, when they saw their son killed before their eyes. Picture you walking out in the parking lot and your child gets ran over by a car. Well, now if you were hysterical, what would they do? They would give you a sedative and they would relax you. Right? So what did they do with this wine? Drink this. Why? To calm them so they didn't harm themselves. Because when you see, think about it, when David was screaming over his son dying, you know, oh Absalom, my son Absalom, when he was screaming over that, or picture you screaming over watching something horrific like that. A lot of people can have a heart attack doing that. Amen? How about, was it the high priest? Says he was very fat. Help me out, does anybody remember his name? It says he was very fat. It was in Samuel was there with him, and Eli, for he was a very fat man. he just gave up the ghost, had a heart attack, and rolled over and died. Why? He just heard his family died. You know, I mean, and the Ark of the Covenant was gone. And he croaked like that. So what they were trying to do, I'm sorry, but what they were trying to do was calm him. Okay, that's what I meant. Just trying to calm him. Oh boy. You poor people have to put up with me all the time. Anyway, she was not to be an abuser of that. She wasn't to hand that liquor out to everybody. Hey, we're having a party. Everybody feel good? Here you go. She wasn't supposed to facilitate that. Amen? She was not supposed to do that. That was only used for certain purposes. It was not to be, hey, let's hand out the liquor so everybody gets smashed at the party. That's not what it was about. Amen? So understand that. That's what hurt. She was not supposed to. So it wasn't saying, well, she can do it a little bit, but she just can't do it a lot. I mean, that's not the expression. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that there God is giving His people a reason to drink alcoholic beverages besides the medicine that it was used for in such cases. You know, as a sedative or as a painkiller. To go off into the next life or whatever. So anyway, so understand that in fact, that transcended into our country. We did that for a long time. People that would be shot or they'd be on a farm and they'd be hurt or something would happen. They always had a bottle of whiskey or something like that laying around for those purposes when something bad would happen. Because they didn't have morphine laying around. They didn't have painkillers laying on. You had to reset an arm, or if you had to, you know, if somebody had an accident, you had to do something, right? I mean, you got the guy screaming his head off. I mean, how are you going to do something, you know? Work on the guy that's ready to knock you out, you know, with his other free hand. So, anyway, but that's just common sense. I mean, if you just look at Scripture what God is really illustrating. It's not hard to understand. Anyway, next, the mature Christian lady is a teacher to other ladies in the body. She's a teacher of good things. This right here is what I'm saying about the most neglected ministry in the local church today. Elder ladies teaching younger ladies. Folks, it's neglected. It doesn't happen anymore. So we'll just go talk to the pastor. No, you don't need to talk to the pastor. You know, lady, you don't need to come talk to the pastor all the time. Amen? There's ladies around here. Talk to the ladies. Amen? Talk to some of them. Now, if you think something doesn't sound biblical, then that's fine. You can check and make sure that it is. But if you just need somebody to talk to, you need to talk to a lady. Amen? Does that make sense? Pastor's not your pen pal or your a shoulder for you to cry on. Unless you're a guy, I guess you can cry on my shoulder if you want to, but I don't carry one of them hankies with snot on them, so I can't help you with that. But I'll still let you cry, amen. But that's not, amen. What he said. But understand that elder ladies teaching younger ladies. You know that was God's plan. That's God's pattern. You know, ladies that have been saved for a really long time, they have a lot to offer other ladies. Amen? I wish you'd understand that. Amen? I wish you'd understand that they've been through some things. Amen? They understand some things a lot better than a pastor does, because he's a man that he's not a woman. I'll just put it that way, as easy as I can. He's not a woman. So, you know, what you want to well up and cry about, I would think it's just nonsense. I mean, you know, I'm not being unkind. I'm just telling you, that's how guys think. I'm trying to be as sympathetic as I can when I'm listening to it, but at the same time, in my mind, there's this little guy doing jumpy jacks saying, why are they crying about this? I don't get it. What in the world are they crying about? You know, and I don't do that to my wife. What in the world is your problem, lady? Why are you crying all the time? I don't do that. I mean, you know, because I am supposed to be the shoulder she cries on. Amen? She's supposed to cry on me and, you know, everything like that. And I'm supposed to go cry on her. Amen? But there are ladies for that. That ladies, you need to be able to love one another and spend time with one another. And when one of you needs something, you ought to be able to talk to each other. And don't be scared to ask a question of somebody that's been a mother longer than you, somebody that's been married longer than you, somebody's been, you know what? They have a lot to offer. They could probably save you a lot of heartache. You know where I've saved a lot of heartache is just watching and listening and reading and studying and just watching people. I've saved a lot of heartache in my own life from that. Amen? You're like, man, I'm not going to go through that. I watched the people go through some crazy things like, ooh, man, I won't step on that one. That one hurts. Amen? But you know what? When a lady, this is God's order. This is God's plan for the mature Christian ladies to teach those that are young in the faith. And to help them, the young ladies, ladies that have not been married that long, that don't understand things, how to deal with their husbands. This is God's order for the local church and for spiritual growth of marriages and families. And just for a lady before they're married. It says the younger ladies, that's younger women. It doesn't say just wives. But the pastors today have said, well, I'll counsel everyone. Now, the pastor should, you know, if it's necessary, he should be involved with counsel if need be. But when it comes to a lady with other ladies and it's ladies' stuff, I don't really want to hear it. Does that make sense? I mean, I can't help you with that. Amen? I just can't. Quit laughing. I can't. I can't. It's, you know, I can't help you with that. That's not what God's called me to do. Quit laughing, brother. You can't either. What are you laughing about? You're all laughing at me. Well, I can. I don't know. You know, amen. That's not how I'm made anyway. But don't make fun of me. All right. Okay. You guys are getting ornery just like me. You've been around me too long, I think. That's right. Listen, they do it by teaching. The older ladies and mature ladies do it by teaching them, by example, and also by instruction. Ladies, God did not leave you without help. And his answer is other ladies, for you to cry on their shoulder, for you to talk to one another. Problem is that sometimes you don't want to open up to each other. You don't want to let people know that you're sinners. Well, I'm just here to break it to you. Let me get it all out in the open. All of us are sinners. I mean, all of us have problems with our marriages. We all have struggles. Once in a while, we get into little fights even. Amen? I know you don't want to admit that or anything like that, but let me admit it for you. Amen? Sometimes you get in little tiffs with your wife. We don't get into arguments, we get into discussions. They're discussions. Oh, godly. I'm sorry, but it just reminds me, every time I say something, it reminds me of a story of Jim Vineyard when he was talking one time. He was at a meeting, and he said, this pastor said that he was married for like 20 years, and he had never gotten into an argument with his wife. We'd never really gotten into a fight or an argument with his wife. And Jim Vineyard, he goes, in 25 years, we've never. So Jim Vineyard walks up to the pulpit, and he goes, 25 years? I just got in a knockdown, drag-out battle with my wife today. He said, all these people just start laughing. You got to see Jim Vineyard to respect that. It's funny. But I mean, he's laughing. I mean, he's coming to that pulpit, he's almost crying, you know. And it's just funny. When he told the story, oh man, that was funny. Because it's true, folks. We have, ladies, you're going to be mad at your husband someday. That doesn't mean you go to your friend and say, well, fellow Christian lady, let's blast our husbands today. Let's get pictures of them and throw darts at them. No, you're not supposed to make Christian voodoo dolls of your husbands or anything like that. Okay, that's not what this is about. But to go and say, you know what? I don't know. Maybe you have some advice for me this way. Maybe you could tell me what you did here, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes there's things that come up that you just want to talk to somebody about. Amen? And sometimes there are things between ladies that ladies can understand, and your husband, he's just going to look at you like, I don't really know what you're saying. I mean, I'm trying to, but they just don't get it sometimes. We're kind of thick-headed sometimes. At least my dad is and Andrew is. I don't know about me, but I... I'm just kidding, brother. If we had a thick head, it'd be Lee. He'd be the thickest. That's on tape, and please keep that there. But anyway, that needs to be there for sure. But the modern day church today has stolen that role for the mature Christian lady. They've stolen that from them. They've taken that away from them and not allowed them to do that. The pastor's been so concerned about his authority and doing things in the church that he hasn't let these ladies fulfill the ministry that God has for them. Does that make sense? There's a ministry that God has for them that ladies need to be able to perform. Amen? They need to be able to do that. Because it gives glory and honor to God, amen? That's why. Because it's His order. We need mature Christian ladies to teach the younger ladies. We need it desperately in our churches today. It's the reason we're starting that new ministry that I've told you about as far as keepers at home and everything, why we're starting that. And it's not just for married women, but it's for ladies in general, for them to understand that, you know, there's going to be a ladies' devotional on there. There's going to be just some helps for the help meet and homeschool tips and all kinds of things like that are going to be on the website. And it's going to be just for ladies. And it's going to be designed to help them and to help you and for you to come together. Not to mention when you all come together and you'll do some ladies' meetings and things like that together here at a local church, just here. You guys together, you ladies, not guys, sorry, you ladies will come together and you'll do, you're not guys, but you ladies will come together and have a meeting together with each other and sit down and pray for one another and talk with one another and we'll all be fathers and take our children, amen? Amen. Brother Meyer can help and he can take one of my children, so that'd be fine. We're not letting him get out of it. I mean, if you think we're just going to all be working and you're going to be all sit there and laugh at us like that right there, no, that's not happening. You're helping. You're going to be burping one of the kids. It's just all there is to it, right? He's not getting out of that. But he has experience burping. He's a good burp. Burping the baby. That's what I say. I have experience burping too. But anyway. But the Hildebrand family will take over that ministry as well, and that family is going to deal with that ministry and be a blessing there and kind of lay the foundation, obviously the scriptures, but lay that out for us. And I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be a blessing. And I look for that ahead. They're going to get with Brother Andrew and they're going to put it all together and work on that. And I'm excited about that. And I think you should be too. I think it's a real blessing. I think it's going to be a big help. And in order for ladies to have that, some personal work that they can do. Now, what are they supposed to teach? And we'll get into some of this tonight. We're not going to do all of it. We don't have time to do all of it. But I'm not doing anything after this, are you? I mean, no. But no, we don't. We won't, because I'm saving next week. Keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That'll be next week. That's all one sermon. So we'll save that. But anyway, they are to teach them what? Number one, to be sober. To be sober, to be regular, calm, not under the influence of passion, as sober judgment, a man in his sober senses. Ladies have a tendency to be led by emotions and passions and anger, or not to be serious about things. A godly, mature lady will teach them to be sound in judgment, not to be carried away with every emotion, but to be tempered and controlled, to show restraint and control. That's a problem. When a young wife gets married, many times she can get very excited, she can get very angry, upset, and her husband does one thing, and boy, they just blow up, or a succession of, well, it's usually not one thing. Let me be honest, it's usually not one thing. That wasn't very kind, was it? I mean, your husband will do a lot of things, and then all of a sudden, that's probably better, that's more fair. And then it'll blow up into some big thing, what does the wife do? She calls the pastor. Well, if you're going to run off on your husband and leave and you're angry, well then, yeah, call me. Amen? I don't want you to do that. And then I'll tell you to talk to my wife. But anyway, because you need to talk to a lady, I think, in that case. Now, unless it's a matter between both of you, then I'll come over and then I'll knock sense into both of you. No. But anyway, we'll talk together. Amen? But what I'm saying is that, listen, if you can't talk to a lady, if you don't have me, by all means, call me before you do something crazy. But what I'm saying is you ought to be able to call a lady and say, hey, and she needs, and that godly lady needs to be able to say, calm down. Amen? Calm down. Put the frying pan down. Put it down. Don't hit him. I know he deserves it. No, don't say that. But, Put the frying pan down, or drop the chalupa, whichever. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't hit him. Don't. But calm down, okay? Don't be carried away with every wind of doctrine, or every bit of anger that comes, every bit of emotion, because you're thinking emotionally. I've told people this many times. I said, listen, now first of all, you just need to calm down, because you're thinking out of emotion now, and you're being irrational. By the way, when you're a man and you say that to a lady, that does not please them at all. Now you're thinking irrational. Uh-oh. Whoops. Calm down. You're not thinking. Don't tell me to calm down. No, I haven't heard that one before, but anyway. But, calm down. And the elder lady is to say, hey, listen, teach them to be sober, to be serious, to be calm, to be controlled, to be temperate. Amen? That's what you have to teach. Because you've been through it before, so you understand how to deal with that husband. You wait till he's asleep before you hit him with a frying pan. Not while he's... No, I'm just kidding. But and he can't fight back. But no. You're calm, amen. You're just calm with him. You teach him to be calm and cool and collective and say, it's okay, that things happen sometimes. People are insensitive. And then, you teach him how to deal with it. But you calm them down. Mature Christian ladies ought to have that mindset. As soon as something like that happens, they teach them to be sober. Amen? Now, I don't want you to walk away here from saying the pastor never wants me to call for any reason at all. I did not say that, so don't do that. Don't think that it's an emergency, but I'm supposed to call somebody else. No, I didn't say that. Now, don't leave thinking that that's what I mean. I don't want any phone calls. No phone calls, please. I'm not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is that If this ministry is being fulfilled, you'll already have that outlet and that way to deal with it. Amen? You'll already have that way to deal with it. But a godly, mature lady will teach them to be sound in judgment, or to be chaste, modest, and temperate, or to be wise and prudent in their conduct to their husbands and in the management of family affairs, who have had a large experience of these things before them. means just that they can, that they've been through some things and they understand how to deal with things a little bit better. They've been married longer. I always bring this up because it's funny. Brother Jeremy and I, and was it Brother Andrew? You were there too. We were at the nursing home, and we asked that lady, how long was she married, brother? Was it 65 years or something like that? Was that what it was? 65 years or something. That was a crazy amount of time. And I was like, wow. And she's like, what's your secret? They asked her. And what'd she say? She said, shut up and what'd she say? Was it like I shut up and listen or something like that? Is that what she said, Brother Jeremy? Yeah, she said, I just shut up and listen. That's what I do. I just shut up and listen. And I was like, and she was not bitter, angry, or any. I mean, she was just a calm wife that was just like, I just shut up and listen. I'm like, you need to preach that, lady. No, in this church, lady. But she said, "What?" And I know she didn't really mean that literally in every point. But what she was saying was, is that she listened more than she talked, and that's what I got out of that. She was able. She was calm about things, and she just listened, and she just. And I think that also means that if you catch both sides of that, she was saying, "I let things roll off of my back a lot of times." Ladies, let me say something to you. A lot of times, your husband is very stressed. He's mad about some things, and he's went through a lot of things out in the world, and he's tired, and he comes home, and sometimes he says some really stupid things to you. Amen. Come on. He says some really, he's angry, he's stressed out, he's been through a lot, and he's very insensitive, and he says some really bad things to you sometimes. Sometimes you gotta just let it go right over. It's funny, my wife is so used to me now on things like that, that when I say stuff and I get all excited, I'm getting all passionate. You know how I am. I'm kind of passionate and stuff. I get excited, and then she just kind of, and everybody's around me is looking like, and she's just kind of smiling. She's just like, and then after about 5 seconds, I'm done, and she just looks at me, and I look at her, and I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. She goes, yeah, I know. So it doesn't bother. Why? Well, because she knows me. She knows how to handle it. She just knows it's kind of like, okay, there goes the steam. It's done. Okay, now it's over. Amen. Sometimes you just got to let it roll off your back. You just got to, and men, you need to learn to do the same thing. Because they've had a stressed out day. They've been going through a lot with children and everything else. And sometimes they say some things that they shouldn't say. And they get angry. And remember that whole brawling, you know, better to be on the rooftop than with a woman in a brawling house in a White House, you know? Did it say a brawling woman in the White House? No, it says a brawling... I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. Thought you'd like that. Hey, she's a boss. Make no mistake about it. I can say that because I'm not a 501c3. But it was a joke. You need to let it roll off your back too sometimes. But that, you know what? That godly, mature lady can say, you know what? We've been through some things. Your husband's just blowing off some steam. Just calm down. Just relax. It doesn't mean he's right with what he's saying, but he's your husband. Love him anyway. You know, love your wife anyway, and just get through some things. They're able to calm you down. And that ought to be the goal, amen, of a godly, mature lady, is to say, just calm down. Calm down. I've had to personally have a lot of people, no, calm down. You're getting too excited about it. Just relax a little bit. And, you know, you think more clearly after you get a good night's sleep and things. You know, and I've seen that to where that has passed through. It's like, you know, you can't, you know, and things are a lot better. But just remember that, okay, that's her to be sober. This is the reason the mature Christian lady can't be a slanderer. She's not to come, if you come to that lady and say, oh, that husband of mine did this and this and this, and I'm just angry and I'm ready to... And that Christian lady goes, yeah, let's get him! No, she's not supposed to do that. She's not supposed to do that. She's supposed to be calm, and she's supposed to be sober and say, now just relax. She's not supposed to say, yeah, give it to him. Hit him in the head with that frying pan. She's not supposed to be that way, you know. And I joke about that, but nobody ought to hit anybody with anything. Obviously, we understand that. I mean, we don't believe in that, but I just want to make sure. Don't use a cast iron pan either. Those things are pretty powerful, but they'll hurt you. But anyway, I understand, folks, that she's not to be a slanderer for that reason, because if she is, and you go to that older Christian lady and you start talking to her about it, she says, well, I think you should just leave the bum or something like that. You know, whoa, wait a minute, we don't want that kind of an attitude. No, she's not to be a slanderer and not stoke the fire. Do you understand that? You don't want to stoke the fire in situations like that. You want to calm it as best you can. You want to suppress it. Calm everybody down. Next, she is to teach her, teach them to love their husbands. That godly, mature Christian lady is to help and assist them all they can to seek their honor and interest, to endeavor to please them in all things. That's what that's what she's to teach them. She's to teach them that the wife is to help and assist their husband in all things that they can, to seek their honor and interest, to endeavor to please them in all things, to secure peace, harmony, and union, to carry it affectionately to them and sympathize with them in all afflictions and distresses. For this is not so much said in opposition to placing their affections on another man and to the defilement of the marriage bed as to the moroseness, the hardness, and the ill nature. What he's saying is that it's not so much that you're not teaching her to love somebody else, obviously. No, what he's saying is that the importance of this is that you teach her to love her husband through it all and what love really is. That it's getting through some things, it's forbearing some things, it's sticking by your husband in whatever decision he makes, even if you think it's a really bad one. Amen? Amen? I know you don't say amen, ladies, but I mean, I hope you men understand that that's what's supposed to be done. I heard down south they wave hankies. What are they, the snot-filled ones, or do the ladies not do that? I don't know. How does that work? Is it the guys that use those as rags, they stick them in there? What do the ladies do with them? What do they just wipe their... Anyway, I don't care. But it's easy to be swayed, though, from the plain path of duty as far as love goes. It's very easy, because we get upset at people. We get angry with each other. Amen? I know that never happens to you in your house. You don't ever get mad at each other, right? That's right. Dad said it. That's right. Don't ever get mad at Mom. Oh. A wife is no different. She can become cold and complacent to her husband's needs as well. If you get angry with each other, and that mature lady is supposed to teach her, hey, listen, you love your husband. That's your focus in this life as far as between the unity of you two is to love one another. That's the greatest command that God gave us, that you love one another. Love the Lord thy God, number one. Number two is to love each other. Amen? That's God's command, to love each other. We're to have that love, and she's to show that love. Look at what it says here, the best interest, to secure peace, harmony, and union, to care it affectionately to them, and sympathize with them in all affections and distresses. So you're there for one another. Amen? You're there in love for one another, because you know what? At the end of the day, he ought to know that his wife is there for him. By the way, she ought to know that you're there for her, too. Amen? She ought to know that. She ought to think that, well, I'm here by myself. I'm just the caretaker around here. I just clean things and cook, and that's all I do. Take care of the kids, but it shouldn't be that way. Amen? Husband ought to be there for his wife as best he can. And I know we work and we have busy schedules, and that's no excuse for us not to be there when we're there, though. Amen? And all of us are guilty of that, but we need to work on that. She's also to show that she's to show loyalty to her husband above anyone else. She's not to show loyalty to anybody else but her husband first. Amen? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen? That's God's will for the believer and for the lady, especially in the marriage. A husband must know that his wife loves him when others, all others are forsaken. Remember, you two are to forsake all others and be together. Amen? That's how it's supposed to be. You two. You're supposed to teach them to love. The elder lady is to teach them to love their husbands through thick and through thin. You know why marriages, I think a lot of times, why even evangelical marriages, so to speak, 50% of men have been divorced? I don't think this is being taught. I don't think some godly lady is looking at another lady and saying, you know what? Suck it up and go home and be a wife. Don't go back crying to your mother. Get back in there and be a wife. You said I do. He said I do. You're stuck with each other. That's the way it's going to be. There's a no return policy here. Amen? Come on now. That's the way it is. There's no return policy here. You don't get to go back on that decision. Roll up. This is the decision you made. Go be a wife. That's what a mature lady can say easier than a man like me can say to somebody. Because when I say it, it just sounds mean. They start crying. But if you say it, they might take it a little differently. Amen? I'll say it anyway, but I'm just saying. If a lady says it and sits down with her, you know how a lady does. They sit down and they hold your hand, and you know that whole soft stuff. Ladies can do. You know, they'll just sit there and hold your hand, and they'll listen, and they'll start crying together. And amen. I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying I'm a guy. I don't do that. Amen. Just not part of my nature. I mean, first of all, I don't hold anybody's hand but my daughter's and my wife's. Amen? So I'm not going to do that for anybody besides them. But I'm saying, folks, that that's the way a lady could sit there and have that conversation. Amen? She could sit there and have that conversation with somebody. But a guy, a pastor even, hard conversation to have with a lady. Amen? Very hard conversation to have with a lady. Teach them to love their children. Now listen to this. This is important. We're almost done here. But listen to this. Not with a natural affection only, but a spiritual, a love springing from a holy, sanctified heart and regulated by the Word of God. Not a fond, foolish love. Indulging them in evil, neglecting due reproof or correction where necessary, but a regular Christian love showing itself in their pious education, forming their life and manners aright, taking care of their souls as well as of their bodies, of their spiritual welfare as well as of their temporal, and of the former chiefly and in the first place. Not with a fond, foolish, loose, and ungoverned affection, but so as to seek their real good and not only their temporal but spiritual and eternal welfare, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to use and to keep proper discipline and government over them. For otherwise, amidst all the fondness of natural affection, a parent may be said to hate a child. Proverbs 13:24. Turn there. Now, it doesn't say here what I hear a lot of modern day people, spare the rod, spoil the child. No, it doesn't say that here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 24 does not say, spare the rod, spoil the child. What it says is, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, just because you're a girl doesn't mean you get out of the spanking because it says you're a son. That's not how that works. But anyway, it says that he that hateth his son. Fathers, I know we're talking about ladies here, but let me say something to you. It's very clear here that he that spareth his rod hateth his son. So when you and I don't punish our children when they should be properly biblically spanked or punished, and we don't do that, that does not mean we love them. You know what it does mean? It means we have a fondness or a giddy love for them. Not a fond, foolish love. That's what that is. A fond, foolish love where, they're just so cute, or they're this or they're that. I don't want to spank them. I don't want to do that. Sometimes we think that, you know, they're too small to spank, or we can't do that, or we don't believe in that spank, or they're too small. Well, how small do you think they need to be before you start doing that? Think about that. When they're bold enough to rebel and kick and smack and punch, and they're old enough to get spanked. Amen? Come on. They just are. I know we don't like to think about that because it's our little baby. But you know what? That's Bible, folks. It says it straight. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It's important. Biblical correction is important. And what it's saying here is an elder woman can look at another, a mature Christian lady can look at one that has children, that she's already raised hers and she's done it right and she knows how she's corrected her children. She can come up to her and she can come up to that younger lady and say, you know, you really need to stop letting your children do that. Now, you're not trying to intrude. You're not trying to be mean, but you're just saying, listen, can I give you some advice? I've seen some things before. I've been through some things. Now, properly, we try to teach that. Now, you don't interrupt a parent when they're correcting or anything like that. I don't mean that. But what I'm saying is, a real friend will try to help you. You know, I was in my house one day, and this was about 2 years ago. And Brother Alexander was there. And my kid did something. Lucius did something and that he wasn't supposed to. And he did it repeatedly a few times, and some things were going on, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everything's going on, you know. And he said, hey, brother, let me show you something. I said, okay. He sat there, and he called one of his children, his youngest one. He was younger than him. And his child stopped immediately, ran towards him, and stood right there. And he said, you know why he did that? Because he was trained to do it. He said, I'm going to give you some advice. I said, sure, I'll listen. Now, Moses was, hey, you don't tell me what to do. This is my house. You know, he didn't do it like that. That's not what he was doing. Nobody was around. It was just me and him, and he was trying to help me. I said, can I share some things with you? I said, sure, I'll listen. Now, a lot of pastors wouldn't listen and say, you leave me alone, it's my kid. I know that I'm the pastor. I'll do what I want. I'm not like that, folks. I want my kids to turn out right. And I'm not too proud to take advice from somebody. I'm just not. I don't ever want to find myself that when truth is presented to me, I am too proud to accept it. I don't want to be that way. I'd rather die than be that way. I just would. Because I become brutish and hard. But he said to me, he said, you know what? Your kids are allowed to make excuses for why they don't obey you. They give you reasoning. I mean, if I let him, my son will give me a whole discourse and dissertation of why he doesn't want to go clean his room. I'm not kidding you. I mean, and he's good at it, too. I know he's sitting over there, but he's good at it. Well, you see, Dad, here's the thing. What do you mean, here's the thing? Well, there is no thing. The thing is, you obey. But I mean, that's, and he'll explain to me, it's like my daughter will sit there, and she will say, and she'll look at me, and I'll say, you need to go back inside. And Lee was with me one day, and we were sitting in this truck, and I said, you need to go back inside. And she looked at me, and she goes, well? And I'm sorry, it was all I could do to hold it together, and he couldn't either, because he was laughing, and we're in trouble on. Because it's the way that, I'm telling you, it's hard. It's very hard when they do that, because you got to go. I mean, one day, and I'm not going to tell them what it was, but one day he did something to me that was so, you were there, Dad, when he did it, I think, and he did something that was so, and I had to correct him for it, but I had to walk out of the house first. And I had to go, and I had to leave, because I could not do it. And it wasn't because I was angry. It's because I couldn't keep my composure, because it was very hard to address that. Because when kids are so brutally honest, like, well, I don't want to, or well, it's because of this. And I'm like, this is a 3-year-old reasoning with me. Why? Now, it's not funny in the sense that they're rebelling against you and you have to deal with it, but that's what this is talking about here. Don't let that happen. And a mature Christian lady will look at another one and say, hey, that kid's going to run you around if you don't fix that right now. They can look at a mother where you'd be offended if the pastor came to you and said, well, look, lady, you need to start raising your children right. Knock that off. Now, it's not my place to do it in the first place. It'd be my place to go talk to the dad if he was doing something out of line or if something wasn't going right. But I mean, but what I'm saying is that a mature Christian lady can say, listen, can I give you some advice? Because I've been through some things before, and you really got to not let this happen. It comes across so different, doesn't it? Why? Because that was God's design to do it. And he's saying, don't fall in love with your children so much that you don't correct them because you think they're cute, you think they're this, or you're guilty, you feel bad because you haven't spent enough time with them, so you're going to allow them to do wrong because you have not done right. And that's what we do. We've been working, and we're like, man, I don't want to spank the kid for everything they do. Well, if they're going to rebel against you, then you're going to have to punish them for the things they do wrong. And I'm not just speaking to one of you, I'm speaking to me. Because I'm just as bad as everybody else. It's so hard to deal with that with children. It's very hard. Because you feel guilty, this lesson here, what this is saying is that not a fond foolishness, but a real love corrects and instructs and loves and shows affection. There's two sides to it. But if you're allowing your children, and I'm allowing my children to disobey and live wrong, we're in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. Because they're going to grow up to be mom. When they openly defy us, and they don't listen to us, and we let them do it, we're hating them. We're not loving them, we're hating them. You see what I mean? We're hating them. You see what the Bible means? It's the Bible, not me. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. But you know why, brother, and if you look at Brother Alexander's children, I'm not trying to exalt a man, and he wouldn't even like me even saying this, but if you look at his children, they're in subjection. And his children, even at the young age, they know that if they get out, and they do, just like every other kid, they get out of line, just like any other kid, and they get in trouble too, just like, but he's training them. And that's what we need to do. And that's what this elder woman, this older in the faith can say, hey, I've been through this now, you better watch this. You see what I mean? Some mothers have become so smitten with their children, they get a blind fondness for them. And fathers do the same thing with their children. So much that they don't correct them. The mature Christian woman is to teach her to love her husband, to love her children. Teach them to be, and we're done, teach them to be discreet and chaste. Discreet means prudent, wise, in avoiding errors or evil, and in selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose. Circumspect, cautious, wary, not rash. That's the Webster's 18, I'm just giving you Webster's 1820 dictionary. To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. To teach them to be discreet. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Sometimes some ladies can run off their mouth when they really shouldn't. They're not discreet about what they say or their actions, what they do. And then it's the opposite of modesty then. It's flamboyance and it comes across really bold and brassy. That's not what God wants for a lady. The mature Christian lady is to teach him, now listen, you need to be, you're too brutish, you're too hard, you're too bold, you're too brass when it comes to things, you need to back off a little bit. They can see that and they can say, hey, back off a little bit, don't make your husband, you don't need to do that, you know, and not when something's going on, but just in private, you know what I'm talking about. You know, ladies, how you can have conversations with people and you'll take it when you're talking about things and when the truth is brought out for you. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is the glory to pass over, transgression. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Discreet, prudent, wise in avoiding errors. You teach him to be discreet. You teach him that principle. The mature lady will be able to teach this, having fallen into a trap in her youth and been through some things, understands how to avoid those pitfalls. That chaste, she must teach them to be chaste. Pure from all unlawful commerce of sexes applied to persons before marriage, it signifies pure from all sexual immorality. Undefiled, applied to married persons, true to the marriage bed, free from obscenity, while they behold your chaste conversation in language, chaste in language, pure, genuine, uncorrupt, free from barbarous words and phrases, and from quaint, affected, extravagant expressions. Chaste. Pure, clean speech, sound speech. Amen? That's what they're to teach. Uncorrupt. Not bold and brassy. So they're godly and clean and morally pure and true to their husbands if married, and true to their Lord in purity if they're not married. Waiting on the Lord. They do not take filthy or dirty or obscene conversations. They are uncorrupt, so no one can look at them and make accusations at their wicked speech, or that they do not speak after the manner of a harlot. Loose language with men. A godly, mature lady will teach that to the younger lady. Here is where the church has failed today. No guidance from mom and mature ladies about dressing right, about covering your body so as not to cause men to lust after a younger woman. That's the problem. Notice it's not really worried about the older women doing that, because it's mostly younger women will do that. Younger women will dress immodestly and not cover themselves so others will see them. Amen? And that's what a godly, mature lady says, hey, keep yourself covered. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. You don't need to do that at all. That's not important. Folks, men are attracted to beauty anyway. They don't need a young, pretty lady to be dressed immodestly. Amen? It's not right. Come on. Well, let me ask you, lady. Do you want a lady around? Another lady around your husband dressed immodestly? Think about it. If you see a lady parading herself in something that she shouldn't, does that bother you as a wife? And your husband has to look at that, or does look at that? It's around him. You wouldn't like that, would you? No. It's not right. The pastor does need to preach it, but the Lord also would have the ladies to teach that modesty as well. But as a mature Christian lady, if you have love for others and you walk circumspectly, it's your ministry to help those. I didn't say judge them harshly and push them to leave the church, but nurture them and care for them and train them. Help them along. Give them some advice, but be kind about it. You don't come across like the preacher does from the pulpit, amen? I've seen this among young women of the day. No discretion, no modesty. Even among Baptists, that they show their bodies off for the world to see, and it's wicked in God's eyes. It's absolutely wicked. It also messes up marriages and develops trust issues within marriages. A young lady, if you dress to attract a husband by showing flesh, you will have a fleshy relationship based purely off of lust alone. That's all it'll be. Amen. Now, next week we'll finish this, and we're done here, but we'll finish this message, and it'll talk about being keepers at home. And the whole reason why the elder lady is to teach the younger ladies that the word of God be not blasphemed.